All right, this morning's message comes out of Luke 1, 26 through 42. And before I go to the Word and speak in this very brief message, I want to pray over it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we just come to you and we are so overjoyed to be in your presence this morning in this house of God that we lovingly call Bethel. Thank you so much for the faces that are looking at me this morning. So many faces that I haven't seen in some time, and I am just thankful for their presence this morning, Lord. It is a special day to worship. It's always a pleasure to join in worship on Christmas Day and certainly Christmas Eve. And here we are, just almost a year later. I said to this congregation, I believe in January, blink and it will be Christmas. They blinked and here we are. And Lord, we just are so thankful for the opportunity to join in fellowship and joy and peace and hope and love and all the goodness that comes from Christmas. We ask your blessings on your word this morning, and we ask your blessings on the message that is prepared for all. All these things we ask in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ, who we serve with honor and dignity. Amen. So I'll be in the New Living Translation, and this is the birth of Jesus foretold by Luke. And I'm again in Luke 1, and I'm going to start in 26. So if you're following along with me, we're going to do Luke 1, 26 through 42. So let's go and see what the Lord has to say this morning. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son, and he is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And again, welcome back to worship this morning. It is always a pleasure to be with you, but most certainly it is a pleasure to be with you in worship as we celebrate Christmas on this Christmas Eve day. This morning we have read out of the Gospel of Luke, and what a powerful book the Gospel of Luke is. If someone asked me to pick the most popular book out of the 66 books that reside inside of the Holy Bible, I would almost have to pick Luke, because I would say that it's at least in the top three of the followers of Jesus. Luke is a marvelous book. Luke would have to be certainly, again, in the top three, but you might ask me why I would say that. Well, I think it's simple. Luke is a biography, if you will, of Jesus Christ, written with a distinctly human touch. If you read, it takes you about an hour and 30 minutes and a good cup of coffee to read the entire book of Luke. But what you will see in this book is the human touch coming right out of the gospel, grabbing a hope to you. This gospel is considered to be the most poetic and beautiful of all. I would tend to agree. It is one of my favorites. I have 66 favorites, but this is one of them. Luke, a physician by trade, was traveling. He was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul, and Luke writes in his words about the compassion that Christ has for sinners and those that suffer daily. I think we heard a little bit of that out of our reading for our Advent wreath this morning. In this gospel, Luke shows Jesus as the Son of Man who came to save all sorts of people. You see, he saved the Jews and the Gentiles. He saved men. He saved women. He saved children. And he saved all the outcasts in society. In other words, he came to save us all. Every single one of us. Jesus came to simply save the world. And he came without spot or blemish and without sin in the womb of a virgin. While preparing for this week's sermon and this week's prep, which if you work in ministry in the slightest bit, regardless if you have a job assignment, if you're a volunteer position, paid position, or even if you're just a faithful attender of church function during the Advent season, and especially this last week, you know this week in the church calendar is probably one for your record books. You do more in this week than you do in any preparatory week in the church calendar, for the exception maybe of Easter. Since my regular visits to the pulpit, and it's hard to believe, but this is my third Advent season with you, so what I have come to realize in preparation for this particular week, it's like fighting a gauntlet. And anyone who works with me or beside me or helps me in any way, they know it's a gauntlet. And if I look at specific individuals in this sanctuary this morning, I think they would agree. It's like a gauntlet. Now, with that said, there's only one way you can get through it. You're just going to have to pad up, consume gallons of coffee, lock your head and your eyes forward, and push on through till exhaustion. And all of a sudden, when you wake up, it's done. With that said, while preparing for this gauntlet this week, because this message was changed completely from my message of love that I had prepared, I was preparing this gauntlet. And when I'd work up sermons, I generally try to listen to modern Christian music, some old hymns. I try to get myself in the spirit as I read the word and prepare your message. And I was doing much the same thing. I was listening to a popular Christian radio station. All of us have listened to it, and it was playing beautiful Christmas music. So I was in the go, and all of a sudden I heard these words. Oh, it's magical. Christmas is simply magical. Now, even though I understood the meaning behind that statement, and certainly the person's intent to say that, I believe from my perspective, where I stand this morning as your shepherd, I need to clarify that. But before I do, I start here and simply say this. Yes, the season of Christmas is magical. I don't disagree with that. But the true Christmas, the true Christian, what we celebrate as the believers of Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ, that Christmas, there isn't anything magic about it. That's not what we celebrate today. That's not what we'll celebrate tomorrow. There's no magic in that. Friends, Christmas is all about miracles. It's not about magic. It's about miracles. Miracles that I read about and have written about today. The miracle story and how this miracle took place. If you go back, and I make you go back and I ask you to read Luke 1, 26 through 42, you will witness three miracles in that singular passage. Not one, but three. Christmas is all about miracles. No magic in it. Today we celebrate the love found in Christmas. We have acknowledged it this morning through the lighting of our Advent wreath on this fourth Sunday of Advent. That lighting signified the love of God, the relationship that He wanted to share with us by short sending His Son. Christmas is the miracle of love. No magic of love, it's the miracle of love. It's simply that. God so loved the world, you see, that He gave His only begotten Son. That gift doesn't have a thing to do with magic. That gift has everything to do with God's desire to benefit us and provide us and allow us to be befallen by a miracle. When was the last time you've experienced a miracle? You personally. I want you to think about this. When was the last time that you experienced a miracle? I'm not talking about the miracle of a new day. I'm not talking about a sunset or a sunrise. I'm talking about a real miracle where you have absolutely no doubt in your mind whatsoever that God's hand has been in work in your life, and that God did something that only He could do for you or for a loved one. I realize you may not have the answer to that this very second, and that's okay. I want you to think about it, but I'm going to come back to it here in a second. As a believer in Christ Jesus, there is no magic in our life. Our lives are blessed with miracles. You, this very moment, are a miracle. I know you don't see yourself that way, but you are. Miracles are when God chooses to reveal Himself in your daily lives. I had a conversation about a month and a half ago with a colleague at work, and he said, "You know, I want to talk to you about a coincidence." I said, "Stop right there. I don't believe in coincidences." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I just don't believe in it." I said, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Are you a man of faith?" He said, "Absolutely." I said, "Then God has chosen to intercede in your life. That wasn't a coincidence. That was God speaking to you. Now let's talk about what you want to talk about." I just felt called to share that with him. It's when God chooses to intervene in our life, in our daily lives. It happens all the time. It's the difference of whether we can see it or not. The birth of Jesus in the story we read about in Scripture this morning is proof. It is proof that God intercedes in our lives. It's not magic. It's God's conversation. It's not magic. It's God's touch. It's not magic. It's God's love. There's nothing magical about that. It's a miracle. It's well beyond. It's polar opposite of magic. Let me take you back to Scripture this morning to a very important statement in the passage. Mary asked the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angel tells her, "Well, the power of the Most High will overshadow your humanness." Overshadow your humanness. Well, there it is, friends. You need it in stone, you need it written, you need it etched in your life. There it is. Overshadowed in your humanness. The Spirit of God overshadowing our humanness is a miracle. If you feel a slight tinge in your skin, maybe you have goosebumps right now because of the spirit of the season, knowing what you're celebrating. Well, welcome to the house of God called Bethel, because He is seated right here in this room. That's why you are a miracle, because the presence of our holy God, the presence of Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit sits in this very room this morning. Welcome to the miracle at Bethel. You're in it. I asked you earlier if you had ever witnessed a miracle, been a part of a miracle. You were probably thinking about that question. Don't worry about answering it. I just gave you one. It's here. It's right here this morning. It's right here in our celebration Thursday night. It will be right here in our celebration at Christmas Eve. You, friends, are a miracle. You are a miracle of God. No magic in you. You're well beyond magic. You've left that page long ago. You bought and paid for that t-shirt. You're now wearing the t-shirt and the armor of Jesus Christ. You are a believer in faith, and you are a miracle. Now, I will share with you, and I said to you this morning, that Jesus is present with you right here, right now. Now, if he could speak, I don't want to speak for him, but he's probably going to say something like, couldn't you guys find somebody just a little bit better than Brother Derek to give you this message this morning? But then he's likely going to say, because he's a forgiving God, he's likely going to say, it's okay. He'll do for now. Because he loves us. He's present with us this morning because we love him. I think we shared that in part of our bulletin message this morning. Here we wait on love because love waits on us. That's a miracle. That's the miracle of the Christ child. Just as God made his will known to Mary by the presence of the angel and Mary choosing to obey God's will, you and I are saved and our Lord is present in this very chapel this morning, today. And friends, that is nothing short of a miracle. This is the Christmas miracle we celebrate today. It's the Christmas miracle we carry with us throughout the year. It's the one we'll share tomorrow during Christmas Day. It's the one we will carry in to the new year. There's no magic here. It's faith bound up in the miracle of hope, peace, joy, love, and grace. Our faith is living with knowledge that God's almighty power is always at work around us, no matter what, no matter where. I've told you before from this very pulpit, God meets you right where you stand. And today, he's standing here waiting on you. That's a miracle. Do we choose to receive it, is the question. I want to share with you that every miracle in the Bible came with God's intercession. From turning water into wine to raising Lazarus, they all came with God's intercession into a human life. Every story in Scripture came with God overshadowing our humanness to give us a miracle. The difference is they had to accept it. Jesus could not have turned the water into wine unless the wine stewards had went and drew more water for the bath. Once they yielded to his will, here came the miracle. That's what's important for us to know. Accept it this morning, friends, because you are in the midst of it. You are the miracle. So, all of you, Irene, don't miss this part. So all of you can get busy with your schedules of Christmas. Here's the closing statement. Yes, there is magic and magical feeling in Christmas. So I don't want to take that away from this message this morning. But Christmas itself, friends, isn't magic. It's love in motion. It's love coming to us in the form of a child. And that child is a gift. It's the miracle gift to our salvation. It was this moment when God said, I want my people home, that he decided to send his son to us in the form of an infant child. Thus he dispatched him. He sent him to me and you to touch him, to love him. And yes, unfortunately, to crucify him. So that we could be saved. Why? Because God decided he'd throw in a coincidence and call us home through his son Jesus Christ. This gift of love, this love in motion, is because he chooses to protect us, just like he protected Mary and Joseph on their journey, just like he protected Jesus when he was born and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Just like He gave him the strength to walk and teach and love, you and I have all the same abilities because we are people of faith. And our faith alone is a miracle. There ain't a thing magic about it. The miracle child we lovingly call Jesus is exactly that. And thus, because you believe in Him and you have faith in Him, you too are a miracle. So I welcome you this morning on this Christmas Eve day. I welcome you here to the house of God, where the presence of the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ is right here. He meets you right here where you sit this morning. I welcome you to the kingdom of God in this chapel. For He is present this very moment, this Christmas Eve moment. Now Scripture tells us to rejoice, for you are wrapped in His glory, just as He was wrapped by His mother Mary and protected that night in a manger to live yet another day and for 33 years to minister to us so that you and I would have His word and His hope. You are wrapped in that glory today. You share in that Christmas glory of the miracle child, Jesus Christ. And thus, welcome home to the miracle given to you none other by the God who loves you and calls you home. Amen.